I'm very impressed with the way Paul put together this panel. And mainly because we went from hearing about Anne's study, which was such a comprehensive, exhaustive examination of evidence that had been published, to the next presentation that's talking about a real fabulous program in Bangladesh to mine. And the reason I say that is that I started this organization because, as Paul mentioned, I failed retirement and I saw flies on these little children's eyes out in the middle of the Niger Desert, and I wanted to figure out how to get those flies off their eyes. So my work was not based on any evidence. There was no evidence at all. It was just that I intuitively felt that there was a gap in what was being done at the ground level. So I started this organization the same way I did the software company, and that was doing an exhaustive survey of that area and really understanding the needs of the community. Circumstances brought me to the southwest corner of Ethiopia, which is one of the most marginalized areas probably in the world. Here we have, in this zone, we have 16 tribes. If you open up your National Geographic and you see these really amazing pictures of people, that's who we work with. We started out with our basic theory of change, and that really is that in order to help people have a chance to have a healthy life, the first thing we really need to do is understand the gender norms. Then we have to understand the cultural norms. And then we have to figure out how is it that we're going to link these people with the government-supported services or whatever intervention it may be that that is being implemented for their own good. But you can implement the best programs in the world, but if the people don't use what it is that you're implementing, it's not going to work. So the way we look at any kind of a program is, first of all, we feel that we have to understand the process of the mind, how people think. Then we need to understand what are the constraints of society. And after that, we'll take a look at what is the human action and choices and behaviors, and how do we help them learn new modern scientific information and then blend that information in with their traditional wisdom. Because oftentimes their traditional wisdom is very, very rich, is very contextual, and after all, they have survived a lot longer on this planet than you and I have. So in order to do this, we'll work first of all with the group A, take the learning from group A, apply it to group B, take the learning from group B, apply it to group C. To give you a little idea of the context in which we work, we have very difficult values, meaning that women are only valued by A, how many children she produces, B, how much bride price she brought to the marriage, and C, how many jerry cans of water she can haul, or bundles of wood, or how much work she can do. Education is something that is not valued whatsoever in these cultures. They find that these new government initiatives with education are kind of tearing apart the fabric of their culture. And so we need to address that. Another area is really that whole rule of conduct. Women are not allowed to speak. They're not allowed to influence the behavior of the family. They certainly aren't allowed to participate in decisions at the household or the community level. And it's a pretty violent environment. Women are often kicked, hit, beat. I've had a lot of women show up at my tent with their heads split over by a machete. I mean, it's very violent. But it also is very rich. And they're incredibly collaborative. They're incredibly caring. And these people really are amazing. And we do not want to lose this indigenous knowledge that's available to us in the world. And the way that we were able to address health in this environment, I should mention, it for 5 years, I applied for all kinds of health grants, and we could never get a health grant. We did a lot of water, sanitation, hygiene, but we could never get a health grant. A friend finally told me about a family planning grant, and I said, well, why not? Even though a woman, this is totally countercultural to do anything about family planning. My colleague, Delphine Pastel-Murphy, came up with the idea, well, you know, what these people really want is they want enough children to follow their livestock. They want enough children to do work. Why don't we help them understand that in order to have enough children, they need to have healthy children? So let's help them learn how to have more healthy children, which in turn will translate into less children. And by the way, it will also help the mother stay alive a little bit longer, because we have a very, very high maternal mortality rate. So our engagement, our first engagement with the community is generally through water, sanitation, hygiene. We do this because it's definitely a very felt need. It's something that we can address very quickly. We can generally then help people learn how to learn this new modern thinking. In that process, leaders emerge. And with these, taking these natural leaders, we're able to form a small cadre of early adopters. One of the primary motivating factors is literacy. In this area, the literacy rate is between 1% and 14%. It's very, very low. There's no way you're going to access children because parents don't value literacy. So what we did was said, okay, let's take basic literacy training, but let's integrate it in with some kind of improved food source. And with those food sources, we use chickens, eggs, and vegetables. And then also, when my colleague was talking about, showed that picture of the bicycle hauling the woman to the health center, well, we don't have bicycles, but we have donkeys. So what we did was we turned these donkeys into the drivers of ambulances, so we have donkey-based ambulances. What's really quite lovely about this approach is that the donkeys live in the communities, and nobody's going to commandeer a donkey ambulance, whereas when NGOs have put in motorized ambulances, usually they end up being used by the government, which is a bit of an issue. The basis of our community engagement approach is called community-based learning in action. And what we did was we took the WHO's FAST curriculum, we took CLTS, we took all these different community-based learning and participatory learning disciplines and looked at it as far as how could we modify it in such a way that it would be really appropriate for illiterate communities that don't have an ability to keep record books or anything such as that. And what community-based learning in action does, what it does not do is it doesn't deliver any messaging. What it does instead is it's a series of organized, structured conversations that happen in peer groups. So the men talk together, the women talk together, and they discover things. And the way that they discover things is all through the pictures. So for them, to help them discover the healthy children perspective, they went through a series of pictures to see, to discover who has healthy families. What does a healthy family look like? How many people are in that family? Do they have enough food to eat? Is the mother alive? And then we looked at families that were struggling. And those struggling families, what do they look like? And they eventually come to the conclusion themselves that a healthy family is a smaller family and that they have enough food and they have the resource to be able to accommodate the family. So what this program has come out, we're just finishing with Group B right now, but with Group A, what happened with that was that in a catchment of 800 women of childbearing age, 31 of them decided that they wanted to use modern contraception. And this was really quite radical. I mean, here you're saying when a woman chooses to use contraceptives, she's basically saying, I'm willing not to be valued by how many children I can have. And that's really, really scary. Quite frankly, when we're working with these communities, what we find is that the men are the ones that are more supportive of the idea than the women. The women are really afraid of giving up that the way that they're valued. I guess I also didn't mention that this is a very polygamous society. So oftentimes the elders will have four or five wives. The young men have very little chance of ever being married. So within 18 months, what we were able to do with this project was we were really able to shift the values and we were able to shift the rules of conduct. So a lot of this really came through that integrated functional vocational literacy, quite frankly, by bringing in men and women and the way we could access them. Once again, remember, we were able to identify emergent leaders through the WASH program. And then those emergent leaders were given the opportunity to go to school, and their reward for going to school was that they would end up with chickens or they would end up being able to garden. And one of the indicators that we were looking at was also if we were able to introduce eggs, if we were able to introduce vegetables, would the people actually eat them? Because oftentimes, once again, I always refer to us as Ferengis. We people from this other world have a tendency to think we know best, and a lot of times we do know things very much because it's based on fact and evidence. However, it's different than what the people know. And when you don't have enough food to feed your family, you feel very unsafe. So it's very difficult for you to take the risk of changing. And we've had great success in household diet diversification, people wanting to learn. Group A, we had 160 people want to learn. In Group B, we had 283 people want to learn. So it's just a matter of helping people understand what's in it for them to do something and for it to be their idea. So I'm delighted with this. I'm delighted to be here and to hear a lot of evidence, a lot of theory, and so forth. And what really delights me is the fact that here we came to really the same conclusions coming at it from the community up versus from the top down. And it's and I just don't understand why anybody would ever fund any kind of program whatsoever that wasn't involving community engagement, because otherwise, what are you doing with the money? You know, I mean, the communities have to be engaged. Otherwise, you can build 50,000 wells or put in all these clinics. But I'll tell you what, you in Africa where I live, you see all these health posts or health centers, and they're empty. Or if they're in a market town, the people that are using them are the merchants. It's not the people for whom they are intended, because these people are oftentimes having to walk a day to even access it. And I've seen mothers carry children that are 10 years old. I mean, so the child is bigger than the mom for a day to just try to get her someplace. And then oftentimes the health workers really don't respect the community. And oftentimes they don't speak the language. So there's just a lot of things that are going on underneath the surface. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you.